So I'll go ahead and tell you up front, it is a bone psaltery. Psaltery is spoken of in the Bible. And I have a couple of different types of psaltery, and this is one you actually play with a bow. I've got another one that you pluck. But this is one of my favorite instruments to play on a spring or summer day. Because I hate spring, I hate summer even worse. So I have to get some kind of enjoyment. So the enjoyment for spring and summer is my front porch. But to me, there's nothing that sounds better on a rainy, when it's a slow rainy summer or a spring day on the front porch. This instrument kind of fits the tone. I'll get joy.
Thank you, Brother Tim. We appreciate you playing that. That was beautiful.
Amen.
Thank you very, very much. Everybody glad to be in God's house today?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, I tell you, there's a lot of places worse than this that we could be, right? I can think of a few. Y'all heard the story about the preacher who was riding on a bicycle. He wanted to go out and visit all his church members, so he was riding along and he encountered this little boy who was pushing a lawnmower around for sale. So he stopped by and he asked him how much he wanted for the lawnmower. And the boy said, "I'm just trying to get enough so I can go buy me a bike." So the preacher said, "Well, hey, I tell you what. How about I swap you my bike for your lawnmower?" So he rode it around a little bit and he came back and he said, "You know what, I'll make a deal with you." So he drives off or riding around on the bike and he kind of comes back around for a minute and the preacher's over there. He's pulling the lawnmower about four or five times and can't get it to start. And he flags the boy down and says, "Hey, this lawnmower won't crank. What have I got to do to get this thing to crank?" And the little boy says, "Oh, well, preacher, you gotta cuss at that lawnmower before it'll crank." So the preacher says, "I can't do that. I'm a minister. I've been saved so long, I don't even remember how to cuss." The little boy said, "You keep pulling that cord and it'll come back to you." So, you know, I say that to say this. Is everything beneficial to you that you do? Everything's permissible, but is everything beneficial? I saw that and I thought that was a cute little joke. So I said, you know what? I'm going to tie that into what I'm going to talk about today. Amen. We've all been there before, that lawnmower that won't crank. Anybody that's in the cattle business and deals with animals, you know you have to pray on a continual basis anytime you fool with animals. Amen. So, anyhow, it's good to be here today. If you have your Bibles, look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at one verse today. And this is a verse where Paul's trying to let everybody know, hey, it's permissible to do whatever you want to do for the most part. But is it beneficial to you to do certain things? And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning. You know, we live in a world, guys, that tends to revolve around me, right? What I mean by that is we live in a selfish world. I think we can all agree on that. For a lot of people, it's about what they want, when they want it, how they want it. Many people in this age are more about pleasing themselves and less about pleasing God. You know, and that's a sad thing, really, because our mission as a born-again believer in Jesus is to go out and reach the lost. We're to be the light in the darkness of our communities and our country, our nation. But so many times, even us as believers, we kind of blend in. We kind of blend in with everybody else. And I believe that is a very serious situation when that begins to happen. You know, the Bible tells us that in everything we do, we should do it as unto the Lord. I think if we take a second step back and really think about that verse for a minute and live that verse, then we would be more prone to do things that would be beneficial to the kingdom and not so many things that would be detrimental to the kingdom. We say, "Well, preacher, I don't do stuff that's that bad." Well, I think we need to define that bad in some people's lives. Amen. Guys, anytime you cause your brother to stumble, you're doing something that's not beneficial to the kingdom. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, because we don't even realize a lot of times the things that we're doing that people are seeing us do can be damaging to our kingdom work. And that's the point I want to try to make to us today. You know, there's so many people in the world today, they love to use this phrase, everybody's doing it. Everybody does this. Guys, let me tell you, we are called to be separated from this world. We are not called to be like the rest of the world. So many people think, "Oh, well, I'm not as bad as my brother over here. I'm not as bad as my sister over here. You know, I do some things." But guys, as bad is bad. Okay? Let's face it. You know, there's not... God doesn't differentiate between different levels of how bad we are. Okay, so if we're doing something that's leading our brother or sister astray, then we're doing something that's not beneficial to the kingdom. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Guys, we're called to be like Christ and not compare ourselves to the rest of the world as we try to justify our behavior. You know, so many times we use that phrase, "Well, everybody else is doing it," to try to justify within ourselves that that's okay. Guys, that is not okay. I want to make sure you understand that, because we listen to people sometimes and we'll let them try to convince us that, "Oh, you didn't do anything too bad. Don't worry about it." You know, I'm telling you, don't seek advice from this world. If you go looking for advice from this world, you're going to hear comments like, "Well, everybody else is doing it." You're going to hear comments like, "Oh, it's not that bad." You need to consult this book, and you need to consult godly people that you can put your trust in.
Amen.
If you have anything that's bothering you that you need to talk about, you need to discuss, go to God's Word. Go to somebody that's a godly person that you can talk to.
Amen.
And that you can entrust yourself with. I'm going to ask you, if you will, let's stand to your feet. We're only going to read this one verse here. And if I was a good preacher, I'd already have that marked. So give me just a second here. I got to find mine too because I pulled my mark out of here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to read verse 23. And that's going to be the only verse we're going to read. But we're going to tie this whole message into verse 23. It says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." Father God, I just pray now, Lord, in the next few minutes that you'll add your blessing to the reading of your word. Lord, let it be nothing about me, but let it be all about you and for your glory, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Guys, our focus this morning tells us that all things are permissible. Look at what Paul's saying here. See, there were some people saying, well, we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't eat this, we shouldn't go here, we shouldn't go there. Paul's saying the Lord created it, the Lord made it, it's permissible for you to take. But guys, not all things are beneficial for us. And I'm going to approach this scripture today from not so much the eating and drinking prospect of it, but from things that we do in our life that although they're permissible, they're not beneficial for the kingdom. And that's what I want us to talk about today. I believe we all can agree that we can do whatever we want to in life, right? I mean, you can do whatever you want to do. Now, you may end up in jail. Brother Tim may be dealing with you before it's over with. Amen. You can do what you want to do, but it does not mean that it's going to be beneficial to you. So I want you to understand that, because a lot of people like to use the term, well, it's my so-and-so, I can do with it what I want. Or, this is mine, I can do whatever I want to with it. Yes, you're right, but it does not mean that you're going to benefit by the actions that you're doing. So that's what I want us to look at that this morning. You know, the sad thing is a lot of believers get caught up in this trap, and they find it okay to say and do things that just shouldn't be in the life of a believer. They get so into this, oh, well, it's my choice, it's my this, it's my that. Remember, I go back to my opening statement, we live in a me world where it's all about us. We get caught up in all of that, and sometimes we lose sight of what our goal really is here. Make no mistake, though, if what you're doing is not drawing you closer to God, then you should be moving away from it. If it's not drawing you closer to God, you should be moving away from it. I got a saying, and I'm going to use it now, and I'm going to use it at the end of this service. If God ain't in it, you shouldn't be either. Amen?
Amen.
And I know I use the word ain't. Forgive me. I'm supposed to be an educated person that's helping to educate people in this world. But, you know, sometimes the word ain't just means something better, you know. If God ain't in it, you ought not be either. And I believe that. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
If God is not in what you're doing, if God is not pleased with what you're doing, even though it's permissible for you to do whatever you want to do, you shouldn't be in it. You should be out of that situation. You should be moving away from that situation. But you know what? The Bible does say this. You can find pleasure in sin for a season. And that's the problem. See, Satan knows that sin is so enticing and so pleasureful sometimes that we get caught up in that trap. So the way to prevent that is to realize that, you know what, if this is not going to benefit me, I'm going to move away from it. And I believe God communicates with us a lot of times when we're in situations like that in life. We've got to listen to it. We've got to listen to what he's trying to tell us here. Guys, I'm going to give us four scenarios here. And if you got your sermon notes, we're down here at the bottom of the page. We're going to start with the first one. And I'm just going to read a situation that happens all the time. Okay? These are not made up situations here. These are situations that I know occur in the daily lives of a lot of people. And even in the lives of believers. I hate to say that. But a lot of this, what I'm aiming at here today, I'm focusing on it from the perspective of believers entertaining and doing these things. So let's look at number one here. You're walking behind somebody and they reach in their pocket to get something out and you notice $20 fall from their pocket. Now, it's certainly permissible for you to pick that up and put it in your pocket, right? But is that beneficial to you in doing that? What if that was the last $20 that person had and they were on their way to the drugstore to get a medication they had to live with? Think about it, guys. I know we've all been in that situation before. We've seen money that's fallen out of somebody's pocket, and we may have even picked it up and put it in our pocket. But I know there's a lot of us in here today that have seen that happen, and we walk up and tap the person on the shoulder and say, "Hey, sir, hey, ma'am, you dropped this out of your pocket here. I want to give it back to you." Now, I'm not talking about if you're randomly walking down the street and you just see some money laying on the ground in the middle of downtown Atlanta. You know, I just say, "Thank you, Jesus," and pick it up and keep on going. Amen? You blessed me today. I knew it was the reason I came to Atlanta today. Amen? I'm talking about when you knowingly and willingly are taking something that does not belong to you. Let's look at what God's Word says in Romans 2:21. "You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal?" Think about that verse. We're in here telling everybody it's wrong to steal, and then we get in that situation, we pick that money up, put it in our pocket. What's that saying? Is that benefiting the people around us who see us do that? What if some of those people were people that know us, that are from the community, that will in their mind form an opinion, "Uh-oh, you know, something ain't right here. That deacon, that Sunday school teacher, that church member, that preacher picked up that money, just put it in their pocket, didn't even try to tell the person that they had dropped it." So you see, we may not look at doing that as stealing, but we've taken something we know didn't belong to us. And guys, if other believers saw us do that or other people saw us do that, they're going to label us as a thief. You know, we try to justify so many things. We try to grade so many things. Guys, anything you take that doesn't belong to you really is stealing. It doesn't matter if it's a pencil. It doesn't matter if it's a piece of candy or something from a store. You remember those Brock's candy displays? I think maybe some stores still have them where you used to dip them out and weigh them yourself, you know. How many of you are old enough to remember all that stuff? Amen. Kids are going, "What the heck is he talking about?" Anyhow, some stores may still have that, but anyhow, you know, as a kid, I have to confess, I'd go by there sometimes and I sure love those caramels. I'd grab one. It was over with. Yeah, over and done. Nobody saw that, right? But once I got older, I realized, you know what? I was stealing from that place. That wasn't right of me to do that, even though in my childish mind, I thought, "Oh, I'm just getting this little piece of candy. Look at all this candy. They'll never miss it." But guys, it was wrong. The principle of the thing is, I took something that didn't belong to me. And that's what I want us to understand. Yes, I can do that. But no, it's not going to be beneficial to me, especially if I get caught stealing something. Then I run the risk of getting arrested, maybe end up in jail at some point in time. So guys, we got to think about these things before we go out and do them. Look at number two. Now, boy, this one happens, doesn't it? You're sitting around with some fellow church members now, and you're talking bad about one of your fellow members. Or maybe even somebody in the community. Think about this. How many times have we sat down in conversations like that? Look at what Proverbs 20:19 tells us. "A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much." Think about that, guys. Let me tell you something. If you wouldn't say something to a person's face, you don't need to be saying it at all. Amen?
Amen.
If you are not man or woman enough to tell that person what it is you're telling everybody else about, you ought not be saying it. But that happens a lot of times, doesn't it? Oh, it's permissible for you to do that, but is it beneficial for the kingdom? That's what Paul's trying to get across here when he said this. You know, I can do things that I want to do, but it doesn't mean it's going to be beneficial here. That can be very damaging to somebody, especially if you don't have your facts straight. And guess what? Most of the time when people gossip and spread rumors about people, their facts are not straight. And even if they are, the Bible says we ought not be doing this. That it's wrong for us to do this. So anytime we're saying something that hurts somebody else should not be a topic of conversation among believers. We shouldn't do it, guys. But we do it, don't we? We love to sit around and hear what the town gossip is, don't we? We love to keep our ear out and we hear something being said about somebody that's been talked about in town a little bit. We want to sit down and we want to plug in with it, don't we? Instead of moving away from that and saying, you know what, that's not right for them to talk about that brother or sister like that. Maybe they did do it. But we as believers are to be building up the kingdom, not tearing it down. And that's the point I want to try to get across here today. Number three, you use bad language from time to time because, well, everyone else is doing it. It's especially bad when you hang around people that do that a lot. You find yourself doing that more and more. And guys, listen, I'm no saint, okay? I've hit my thumb with a hammer a few times too in my lifetime, amen? And I've had to have some prayer meeting afterwards, okay? So I understand this. But I'm not one who just sits around and engages in this kind of talk just to be talking. That's what I'm talking about. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 6, "Let not your mouth lead you into sin, and do not say before the messenger that it was a mistake." In other words, it's not good to sit around and get involved in those kind of conversations. Because, first of all, we've been called to be above reproach. That means our speech, our actions, our thoughts, all of that should reflect Jesus. If your life is not reflecting Jesus in any form or fashion, then you need to redirect your steps. Amen. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Guys, we need to be redirecting our steps sometimes. Because we're getting out of focus with the Master and we're getting off on these pathways here that are leading us into things that we know are not going to be pleasing to God in the end. So we got to be very, very cautious about that. When others hear us using profanity out in public, it's certainly within our right to do so, isn't it? I mean, we can do that, right? I tell you, however, that by using that language, we're letting the world know that we are no different than them. We're no different than them. That's the message we're conveying. Okay? You may say, well, I know what I said. I didn't mean that. Let me tell you something. People mean what they say. They may regret what they said, but they meant what they said when they said it. That is the biggest cop-out excuse in America. Well, I didn't mean that. Vicky's dad always said, well, you didn't mean not to. I remember that saying from him. I didn't mean to. Well, you didn't mean not to. You understand what I'm saying? So guys, listen to me. In order for us to say something, we have to first think about it. We have to first have had that thought come into our mind. So we don't just blurb out things and yell out things. We think about them. So think about this, guys. We've got to watch what we do. The world has got believers under a microscope. They're looking for anything they can find us doing wrong so that they can label us as a bunch of hypocrites, which is what most of the world wants to do anyway. And guess what? We're giving them a lot of ammunition with which to do that. We're giving them a lot of ammo to do that with. Because we are doing the very things that they're labeling us as a hypocrite for. We are using the language. We are gossiping. We are stealing. We are lying. There's no denying that. I mean, believers are doing this now. Forget about the world. We know the world does this. I'm talking about born-again believers doing this. That is what concerns me. Number four. Think about this one right here now. I know some of you think this is just a young person's thing, but trust me, there are plenty of adults that this is happening to too. There are plenty of believers that this is happening with who are not just teenagers, okay? Listen carefully to what I'm fixing to say right here. Number four, listen to this. Two people up late at night on their cell phones, they're talking about sexually oriented things that would make most sailors blush. They're sending inappropriate pictures and videos to one another. No worries. Nobody's ever going to know except the two of us, right? We're up here in the confines of our room. Nobody's going to know what's going on up here. It's okay. I mean, you know, it's my phone. I can do with it what I want in the privacy of my room. Let me tell you what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 12. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. Guys, let me tell you something. You may think nobody knows what you're doing, but He does. Amen. He knows what you're doing. He knows your heart. He knows your intention. You may say, well, that's not my heart. Well, it is at that point in time. Amen. See, guys, here's the thing. Is that permissible for you to do? Yeah, it is. Nobody knows that, right? Is it beneficial for you? Are you glorifying God by what you're doing? In any of these four things I've talked about today, are you bringing God glory through any of those actions? Because, guys, if you're not, you need to move away from it. And I can only hope and pray that if you're involved in these types of things, that the Holy Spirit will convict you and move you from them. That's the great thing, guys. We serve a forgiving God. Amen. If any of us are doing any of these things that I talked about today, any of these things that are certainly permissible for us to do, but that are not beneficial for us to do, I want to encourage you to move away from them. If God ain't in it, you ought not be either. Amen?
Amen.
Just remember that, guys. It's so easy to get caught up in what everybody else is doing. But it's so disappointing to Jesus. I can tell you right now, you might think, and I really don't know what people think when they think that they're just, you know, getting away with this. Or they just keep doing some of these things. Because God's eyes are on you. And I can tell you this. You know what I think it is a lot of times? It's that God doesn't choose to discipline us sometimes immediately when we do things that are out of character for believers. But rest assured of this. It will come. There will come a day where you will answer for the things that you've done. Just between you and God. So remember this, guys. God is with you everywhere. Just because something's permissible for you does not mean it's going to be beneficial for you to do that. And I want to encourage you about that. And I want to try to persuade you that even though human eyes are not on you, if you're a child of God, He can see everything you do at any given time. Now I'll tell you something else even more scary. He knows your every thought. Some of you sitting there thinking something bad right now about your brother or sister. I guarantee you. In a group this large, there's somebody in here right now that's thinking about something bad about somebody else. It happens. But guys, God knows it. God already knows what you're saying and what you're thinking and what you're feeling. So I want to encourage you, let's turn these things into something positive. Let's turn away from these things and turn toward Jesus. Because guys, I'm telling you, we live in a world that is messed up. It always has been. Don't get me wrong. I mean, look at the history. God's destroyed the earth already one time. The next time He's going to bring fire and destroy it, we'll all be in heaven after that. Amen. That ought to be something to praiseworthy right there. But in the meantime, we need to do our job. We don't need to keep giving the world a reason to believe that all we are is a bunch of hypocrites. Because I'm going to tell you, when they see us doing these things and they find out we've done these things, that's exactly what they think we are. And we don't have much of a defense, do we? We can't just stumble around and say, oh, well, you just caught me at a bad moment. No, I caught you at a moment that you are participating in and probably have been for a long time. So think about it, guys. I hope this morning, friends, that you'll see, yeah, anything's permissible for us, but certainly not everything is beneficial. Anything that anyone sees or hears us do that is not building up the kingdom is tearing it down. Do you want to destroy the kingdom that God's trying to build here through you and I? See, we are the church, guys. It's not about the building. It's not about the history. It's not about the bricks and mortar. It's about the people inside this place right now.
Amen.
That's what it's about. You know, it's not about anything else. It's about you and I and where our mindset and our heart set is any given time.
Amen.
That is what is going to convey to the world that there is something different that I want. But if all we're doing is conveying the message of, I don't need to get up at 9 o'clock, I'm already acting like they do, then what good are we doing? We're destroying the kingdom. And some people don't care. I'm just going to be honest with you. Some people will continue. It doesn't matter if I preach this 7 days a week. Some people are going to still do the same things I just told you are wrong in God's Word. You're going to keep doing it. But guys, I'm going to tell you this. There will come that day where you will be accountable. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, be not mistaken, God shall not be mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that also shall he reap. So you see, you keep doing these things, you're making a mockery of God. Anytime you do these things and you're a professing, born-again believer in Christ, you're mocking God. You're making fun of who God is and what He stands for. You're basically saying, well, I'm going to keep cussing. I'm going to keep stealing. I'm going to keep doing dirty things on my telephone. I'm going to keep using all of this kind of stuff. God, you may not say that and think that, but that's what you're doing. That's what it's translating to in His eyes. So I want to encourage you guys, make it a point to do things that are going to benefit those that are around you. Lift up people, don't tear them down. Guys, we got enough tearing down in this world. I mean, whether you like him or not, our president gets bashed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I'm not saying yay or nay to a lot of some of the things he does, but I'm just saying this. We ought not be tearing each other down in front of people, especially on a wide scale like that. Are we helping to edify, or are we helping to destroy? That's the question. Guys, only us as individuals can answer that. I don't know how a lot of you are outside the confines of the church, because I only see you here on Sunday. But guess what? Everybody you come in contact with does know who you are and does know how you portray yourself to them. So even though I may only see you on Sunday and maybe occasionally, periodically in between time, I can only base you on what I see here. And guess what? Most everybody's not going to come in lying and stealing and doing all that in the church, right? Well, some people may, but hopefully they're not going to come in and do that. So guys, what we do outside the walls of the church is where it's at. That is what is going to define who you are. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, God, for your word. I just pray, Lord, that this spoke to someone. Lord, you spoke to my heart this week about preaching on this. And I believe that somebody needs to hear this today. And I just pray, God, that you'll use this and that you'll turn whomever it may be and whatever the situation may be. I pray you'll turn them away from things that are not beneficial to them and that are not beneficial to you. And I pray, God, that as always, you'll get the glory. Lord, I thank you for being forgiven. Lord, it doesn't matter what we've done, God. You're willing, you're quick and just to forgive us of our sins and restore us back if we'll only come and repent and confess. And Lord, I just pray that we might have a time of that here today. Lord, we've all done things that we're not proud of, but Lord, you love us anyway. We've all done things and committed sin, but God, you've forgiven us for it anyway by what you allowed your son to do on that cross for us. And God, I thank you for that. And I get great peace and comfort in knowing that my sins are covered. There's now no condemnation in those who love Christ Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that your will and your way will be done in the rest of this service, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What's hymn we're singing? 435. And thank Hannah again for leading the singing today. She did a great job. Amen. Let's stand and sing 435.